All right. Alright, so you should have got your handouts outside. And the handouts you should have got, could you be quiet please? The handouts you should have got were of three types. You should have two foil sets. One of which is a correction to the foil set I used last time. They're not big corrections, but they were just a bunch of glitches. The other is the foil set I'm going to cover today. The other things you should get is some printouts from Xiaoweiyu's web, this Osprey server, describing SQL and PLSQL. So that has all these programming examples in it. Maybe you have a complete set now. I can show it to you. Yeah, right. So this, something that says what is SQL or what is PLSQL is the printout. It's probable that you don't have that. Maybe you didn't pick up everything. I don't think there are hundreds of chemists dying to pick it up, so it'll probably still be there at the end of the class. The other types of handouts you've got are a handout just describing the SQL language, and also PLC, also. The web interface, if I remember right, the HTTP. So at the end of this talk, Xiaowei is actually going to do the homework for you. In this complicated online system, the results of the homework are actually somewhere around. You can find it. So if you want to know how to do the homework, you can. Just listen to show, see what he does. Alright, so as we seem to have got everything wrong in these lectures on databases, for some reason the file set that is on the even though I just carefully put the correct file set on the web, the version on the web is now wrong. But it's only slightly wrong. It's the old version, whereas the printout you have is the new version. Your printout should have 1997, where I have 1996. Is that correct? No. You don't? Let's see what you have. No, not that one. Where's the other one?
97. Is that your new version?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one. So you don't have everything. You have some more set. But that one will be on the web later today.
That's the right one or the wrong one?
That's the right one. The paper is the right one. This particular electronic version is some ephemeral version that will disappear later this evening and be replaced by that. So you should all have a paper version looking like this, which has 1997 instead of 1996. If you don't have it, it's outside in one of those boxes. So I recommend you get that, because that's actually useful. Probably the boxes have different things in them. You thought they had the same things in them. So I suggest everybody gets the right stuff. Yes. No, that was too thick. The copier jammed. That I gave to be hanging up. Go and check what there is outside. Why don't you just check what there is outside?
Okay. Yeah, we have the original.
What?
The last one. I don't need them.
No, you can recycle that. What? So I'm wrong. This is actually the web version is correct. I'm sorry. Back up, what is SQL SQL and what is SQL in the same one? They don't have what is SQL.
Or you have another printout.
Correct. Alright, let's get started. So this file set's beginning is more qualitative than the others, so it just tells you why you should use a database. And then it does a little more detail on the linkage of the web to the database. So you have what is SQL, what is PL/SQL, Oracle 7 SQL guide, this summary of the HTTP and HTF, which is the PL/SQL commands, and two file sets. So you should have five separate things. And fine.
What's the last one?
No, there's
the
last
one. If you have two copies of one, then you have six. Otherwise, you have five. You have six? Wow.
You
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We can check it out later.
Good. Well, we don't need to talk about this.
Correction.
Correction
for the last
time.
So plus the
whole
one, the last
card,
so should be six.
Right, so there are six. Okay, fine. So this file here summarizes, this is file four. It summarizes some obvious weaknesses, which I've mentioned before, in web technology. And the weakness is that, as we discussed, that although the web is a so this is too many things here. That's the old version.
No, no, this is the last one.
Yes.
The module 2.
Sorry. But I'm using module 3. Fine. Yes, module 1 was not changed. Yes. Yeah, you can keep that. If you know it all, you can recycle it. Let's get going. We're off. At least we're trying to get off. All right. So as I mentioned before, the web is in some sense the world's largest database, but essentially with the exception of a few sites that actually use databases, the technology for managing this database is extremely crude, because it's essentially a whole bunch of computers that gives you one label, and on those computers you're labeled by the file system that those servers access, and then you navigate between those file systems in between those file systems by clicks. And so that's an extremely crude way of managing data. And of course the manifestation of that crudeness is that you often find out of date information, you often find unsatisfied links, and and actually this is a positive and a negative. The way get information from the web is by essentially full text searches. People have fetched down all these. I mean, if you go to the various web pages, web search engines like Excite or Yahoo, those have fetched down, those have scanned, those have read all these pages and extracted keywords, and then when you search, you will find, if you search for a particular topic, you'll find everything satisfying that topic. Whereas a database is organized in a more structured fashion. It would, as we went through in painful detail before with the phone database, it is a set of information where there's some very substantial structure. So when you organize information, you do actually need both structured organization and unstructured organization, because there's some things you tend to know that you definitely want to search on, and other things you can't guess what the person's gonna want. So but I think it's relatively clear that it is unsatisfactory just to have, I mean, you cannot imagine the world evolving with the current organization of the web. And so, as I mentioned, the reason to look at databases is that databases have been developed by the corporations in the world to manage data, because up to now, the only places which had a lot of data were large institutions such as, I guess, universities and businesses, and they have all used databases to manage this information. And the dominant database technology is relational databases, which just basically means there are a bunch of simple tables. And as we've been through in detail, SQL and the various extensions to SQL are the dominant ways of accessing that information. If you look at the strength of the of database technology, the strength is the structure, and the weaknesses are basically that they tend to be rather isolated, and up to now they've had poor interfaces, no standards in the interfaces, although there are some standards to link databases together, they haven't been terribly easy to use. I guess it's also true that they've been expensive, which has historically been important. So the claim would be that obviously the correct thing to do is to use databases combined with the web. So And that combines the sort of security and structure of the database with the far more flexible convenience of the web. Notice that this has actually some profound implications for the way the web is organized, namely the way the dominant search mechanism for the web today is to send out these robots which grab all the data from a website, then they do some sort of processing on that data, and then they use that to produce indices that respond to your queries. If all the information was stored in a database and the only way you got it was by making queries to that database, then the robots won't work any longer. Because once you have this concept of, if you have static HTML pages which have a fixed amount of data, you can imagine getting the world's information by fetching all these pages, storing them all in a database, and then indexing them. If the content of a page is dependent on a query on some form, there's no way a robot is going to sit there and make all the possible queries on a form. So that says that actually this trend to databases is going to destroy one of the greatest successes of the web, which is the web search engines. So maybe 5 years from now, the only thing you'll get out of the web search engines is a survey of everybody's home pages, because probably family home pages, well, maybe they'll use databases, but maybe they won't. So actually, but all the critical data will probably live in databases, and the search engines will find it extremely hard to extract. So that's sort of curious. Okay. So, all right, so we've already, so this sort of summarizes how these various, how the web is enhanced by the database and how the database is enhanced by the web. And I don't think there's a lot more to say there. Again, probably the most critical reason to use the database with the web, well, it's probably two critical reasons. One is the fact that you can manage your data, so you actually know what's there. And the second is that if your data is at all variable, it's going to be automatically updated, whereas otherwise you have to painfully update things every now and then. For instance, let's give an example at MPAC. MPAC has a home page and it has a bunch of MPAC people who work for MPAC. So that changes quite rapidly, but that information is not stored in a database. So that page, so actually what happens is we have a little Perl script that analyzes a list of people and then produces that page. But that Perl script is just run every now and then, every few months, and so that information on MPAC, people working for MPAC, is extremely inaccurate because it's only updated every now and then, which is sort of the classic piece of paper stuck in the departmental pushpin board. That's something which is, you know, a list of addresses and things which is only updated every now and then. So the classic web model is sort of the classic paper model and not the database model, which would tend to be up to date, because you would hope to keep databases in most organizations updated on a reasonably near real-time basis, so that when people leave that's flagged, and when they move rooms that's flagged, whereas you don't run off your piece of paper and stick it up very often. So it seems to me relatively obvious that all papers produced by organizations and all the information about the organizations, that all should be stuck in a database. That's for this class. We probably don't stick all the people in a database, do we? No, so, but we should. Because we could obviously have a much more efficient class if we stuck everybody in a database and then just had various columns of that database to represent the links to their homework, grades and stuff like that. So that illustrates that when we talk about databases, we don't actually have to go to something as complicated as Oracle, because for a class like this you could actually maintain it with something like Excel or just a spreadsheet. So web-based spreadsheets are an example of this type of technology. Alright, so we've essentially, I think, probably said most of this. So it does mention here about optimized searching. So of course databases have pre-constructed indices which allow you to search in a faster fashion than just typical on-the-fly free text searching. So probably the most important thing for the database is that the web gives the database the opportunity to serve all the world's data, whereas previously it just served the data for General Motors and IBM and Syracuse University and organizations like that. Now, it seems plausible that essentially you will always store information in databases. Alright. Next. And so here's some typical examples. There's some examples here under research which are actually are really happening now. Namely, that there are various research communities like a biological community where they're now sharing their things like gene databases through the web. So that, I believe, has made an enormous impact on those particular fields. Interestingly, there's still not a uniform way of storing publications on the web. I mean, that's held up, so that's actually quite an interesting area which sort of illustrates some of the, where again you'd like to have databases of people's publications so that you can easily look them up to see where they are and etc. Some of those databases are held up by the business model for the web because the publishers who publish journals are relatively nervous about putting their information on the web because it's not clear why people would buy journals once you put everything on the web. So there's some areas here which are held up by non-technical reasons. But I think it is generally true that if I compare writing articles now to what I used to have to do even just 3 years ago, it is much better now because we can actually find documents. I can find articles from people over the world just by the current web technology. And with a database, if I could actually look them up in a systematic fashion, I think it would be clearly superior. So we have... as an example here, let's see if it works. Don't pray. Yeah, well, you can show that. So this is an example of something I mentioned. Namely, I was speaking to Ben Ware, who was in charge of computing at Syracuse University. He was saying, what mail system should they use? So there's actually a sort of dilemma in mail systems in the world because mail is obviously electronic mail is getting more popular, and so there are various people writing fancy mail systems. The problem I have with the fancy mail systems is they're improving the user interface, but my problem, although it's not the user interface, it is that I get 60 to 70 mail messages a day. And I have if I look at my mail messages, roughly 30% I can answer because I know they're uninteresting, 30% I can answer, and 30% I don't know what to do with because I don't have the answer. So That means I build up on a backlog of 20 per day, which I'm not quite certain what to do with. So what mail systems allow you to do is to file them in folders, which means you're allowed to attach a label to them. Technically, those folders are directories in a Unix, usually in a Unix file system. So all mail systems I'm aware of used by people like me use the Unix file system as a database. So Xiao Wei and actually Gang Cheng before him built a database that had a much simpler idea. So it seems to me this is an example of how you can change an approach, namely a mail message is a record of information. So you stick a mail message in the database, let's suppose you did that every time you got it. Then when you wanted to, then what's called putting it in a folder? Putting it in a folder is just attaching a keyword to that mail message, which you can then access by that keyword. So why is that advantageous? Well, if you do Unix and you put things in a folder, you have to physically choose one folder to put it in, and then you have to use some linkage technology, which is rather complicated if you want it to appear in several folders, etc. So I think it's relatively obvious that it's much more sensible to store it in one place and then use just multiple keywords which are supported by databases to be able to reference it in different ways. So if you look at this very simple example of this mail system, I think it's clear that if we could persuade the world to use databases to store mail, life would be a lot easier. Well, at least for me it would be a lot easier, because I could then, when I got a mail message, I could tag it with various characteristics, how urgent it was to respond, et cetera, et cetera. Then I could use the power of a database. So I think there must be a lot of other examples like this where there are a lot of activities where if you use the additional capabilities of separating the storage mechanism, which is where it goes, from the labeling and the indexing, which is keywording and searching for information, you'll get a significant advantage. So that's an example of the reason why databases can improve what you're doing. So let's go to the back to the foils. No, you needn't quit. No, let's leave it. It might not come back. What happened there?
Cooldown.
Is it cooldown? Well, you better restart it. So I'm going to continue the foils without. I just continue from the printed version. So after I have no idea what I did to cause it. It was actually Xiao Wei's program, which obviously misbehaved and caused it. What's this thing up here? No, that's not good. All right. So that's, you see, why I'm not using it, because the trouble about this ingenious use of a database is that something like mail, you have to worry about support and quality of software, etc. Can you get me the latest version of the foils? I don't have the latest version, so I don't know what they have.
This is the one.
Okay. Maybe you can find it while I talk to these foils. This is a caddis. Now you go down level to 14. Try 14. So I'm going to skip some of these. So I'm going to go to 16. Alright, so we're going to skip to foil 16. Alright, so this describes the basic architecture which we've essentially implied before, that you have a client going to the server. The server has a CGI script that goes to the, that effectively becomes a database client, and then it accesses the database server. So that's the general architecture. If you now go to the Oracle Pacific architecture, it uses the, so that's the Oracle Web integration. So our CGI script is going to use a SQLNet to access the Oracle database, and if that's the standard Oracle mechanism, you can just do anything you like at, which is supported by Oracle. Next foil. So we've essentially discussed this. So this is, as we mentioned, so we learned PLSQL last time, so this will use PLSQL. Next, let's go to next two, let's skip that. Next one. Alright, so there are these two PLSQL packages, HTTP and HTF, which are the utilities you use to automatically generate HTML tags. And then that interfaces with this Oracle call interface we mentioned last time. Next file. I don't think we need to do this, is that right? So maybe you can skip. Where do you think we need to get to? I think this, this information here we've already done. Where do you have your notes down? Yeah, so let's see what that does. So this here, maybe you want to discuss that. Right, so here on this page here, we have a link to the actual HTTP and HTF package, which is the PLSQL which you access.
Just have a look. You don't have to remember.
So you do not have that in your thing. If you go to the web version, on this file you'll have a thing you can click called add-on, which will go to that. This is also pointed to in the...
That two paper of HTTP and HTF found that two papers that really
helpful. This is a kernel
for that code, procedure for that, the interface. So all you need to do
is
remember interface,
use
the interface.
So that's that. Okay. Let's go back to the page. Next, just a few minutes. All right. So we have essentially, we used these last time, so so this just sort of illustrates what these functions do. So if you do http.url, it produces a line of output which is already set up to be a proper URL tag. So you give it an argument, which is the URL you want. You give it the title you want, and it just generates the href and the a and the and the A tag that are necessary for such a link. So that's sort of straightforward. Next one. So HTF HTTP prints an HTF as a function which returns it. So here's an example of where you would use HTF. So if you look at this file here, we have an HTTP which is producing the URL, but we decided to make the text, which is MPAC home page, italic. So we made the second argument of HTTP.URL HTF.italic. So HTF.italic took an argument, returned the italic version of MPAC home page, which is in the i/tag, and then the fact it was the outer one is HTTP means it printed it out. So HTF is something you use internally to produce an intermediate result. HTTP actually produced something on your web page, on the client's web page. Well, we can go to something, Dan. Is that the same information as before? We don't really want to discuss that here. You gave me the wrong place. Alright, so this is the example we've already got. Now this one, is this where we want to do it? So this is how you actually do something, isn't that right? So this tells you how to actually alright, so we'll probably just go through this example when we've finished the end of these foils. So we can actually I think what we're going to do now is probably just I think we should just go to the end now and do the example, isn't that right? Alright, so I'm going to just take this file here, which is the last file 36, and so you have to remember this URL. If you go to the MPAC home page, you'll find several other examples of databases like the chemistry one and the newsgroups one. And then on TIAC there's a whole bunch of databases, and so those are some of the database applications. And now Xiao Wei will actually go through an example of them. So it's at the back here.
Before I start, I want to know how many of you already use your Oracle account. None of you? I don't think no one used their account. Do you know the machine? The machine is Osprey 7. Yeah. That account already been created for a while. I just want to make sure if there anyone touched the account. Because I didn't receive any question. That really surprised me. Okay, can I use the whiteboard?
Yes.
I think my voice is really loud.
No, it's not.
Believe me, I have a...
Can you hear him?
Please, give me a break. Okay. Okay. Log into this machine, Osprey 7. This machine is not really set up yet. So if you're using the BI or some kind of editor, you probably have a difficulty. So my suggestion is using the Xemacs. Okay, that one has already been set up. Okay, because I'm an assistant, so I cannot use that. Can I help you with this? Xemacs.
What they should do is send a message complaining to you that VI doesn't exist. Then it will exist. Now, the way to
is
get
that
progress
true?
Is to complain.
Okay,
people. Doesn't like getting complained to, so you complain to somebody else
and fix it. After this, okay. If you want to try some example on using the Oracle database, okay, then first thing you have to know
how to run SQL. Okay. Before you start, you have to set up your environment. The environment will be, the shortcut will be like this. Source. Source the Oracle, this user's C shell file. This will set up all the information for you. You want to turn on the light? Let me guess which one. Oh, yeah. Or I can use other column. Okay. This is a machine, and this is help you to set up your account environment. Source. It's a comment, it's a source. Should I write in? Okay. Set up your environment, okay? Why? Whatever. Okay. And then you need to know how to run SQL. So you can use this. SQL plus. Okay. When you type in this command, you will ask your username and your password. And then you can input your username and password. Your password will be same as your username. Do you know your username? That's CB something. I don't remember who. Okay, temporary account. Something in 97. Okay. And then your password will be the same. You can change it, but after this semester, your account will be clear. So you'll be deleted. So if you like it, you can change it. Because we want to save some space for the next class for the summer. And then after this, you can type the online help. You can find all the information you need. Because we have a very thick material, but I think it's too many. So
you will get the thick document. Unfortunately, the Xerox machine, the file,
so probably you will receive the reference manual, okay? How to use SQL Plus.
If you come to NOAA, probably on Monday you will find the, you will have found the machine manual to finish the copy. But it's a very thick manual.
Okay, then you can have the comment, okay, how to use the SQL Plus, and then try some SQL, SQL example, whatever you have. You can copy from the web, or you can copy, you can write your own, okay. Before you really start, okay, I want you to learn something is how to load the data into your database. In this URL, okay, go to the tutorial part, okay, you will find everything there. The first thing is they will tell you, this will tell you how to log into Oracle account, and also if you want to change your password, okay, it will show here, auto user, here, you can find it here.
Maybe you should shut the light down, then you can see, oh, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. After you set up your account correctly, okay, then go to the next one, create table. You have to create table before you load the data. So, this is the sample table I used in the example. This will be your same table in your homework. So you can just copy it and just enter into the SQL Plus, then the table will be created. the load the data into database, there are many ways. The simplest way and the stupidest way is using insert data one by one. Okay, you can read the data in and insert the data to the database one by one. This is for the update only, but not loading for the huge database. So there's another way you can use is using the SQL loader. There's a data loader here. Before you use SQL loader, you have to specify your control file first, and then everything is explained in detail here. You better read it. I don't want to read it because if I read it, you will forget. So I want you to go through every detail in this home page. Then you won't have a problem with your homework. Actually, the answer is right there. You just know which piece you want to copy, that's it.
Then you found out where the answer is.
Okay. If you find where you want to copy, then you've done your homework. Spend some time here in this page. Because I have the same problem with the last semester class, okay? Yes. Yes. Everything is here. You don't need to know the PL/SQL or you don't know the SQL. That's fine. If you read this page, this can help you solve your homework. Okay? But my suggestion is do the SQL and the PL/SQL. This will be really helpful. If you just want to pass the class, we still have another way. Okay? After this, you have to, then you can learn something about how to drop the table. Because, okay? This will clean all the database, clean your data in the database, including the table, the format, everything just gone. There's another very useful tool to check currently how many data table you create or how many package you create. This will show how many your stuff in the database. Sometimes you want to create a table, the table already exists, you cannot create. You have to drop it first. And the package you have to, sometimes you have to use as a replace. Otherwise, your package cannot be created. And you will generate a lot of strange error. This is the problem for the last semester's class. After you create the database and you load in the data, just use a very simple SQL statement to check if the data is there. If data is not there, you better redo it again.
You think you're just selecting everything, so you should get everything.
You should see some kind of 53 lines or 57 lines of record. Now, this will be your homework kernel. Create a package. This package will show you how to create a procedure. Okay, create a package. And this is the SQL already is the comment. You can copy this file to the Unix plain file and use the SQL command. Just run this file. And this will create a package in the database. Under your account.
So this is the same example as in the file.
Yeah. So you want after you want to run this package like a HTTP this package. Okay. First, you have to run the first one. ht.sql. This is including all the HTTP package in your two sheets of paper there. Okay. And then you have to load in the wow.sql. This is another package that allows you to use wow, web, Oracle web. And
The example I just showed you, the package will be the name for wow package.sql. Then after you finish these three steps, all the package already roll into the database. So the next step is how do you create the link between the web and the database. This is an example using a CGI script. This is using a shell script. Okay. This shell script, the purpose of this shell script is try to set up, this will set up the environment for you. Set up the Oracle home and also set up the Oracle server ID. You need this too. And otherwise, you cannot you don't know where the Oracle server is. So you need this to set up this too. And also, you need to put your user ID here. In the example, using the CPS 616. And you can replace, in this line, you just replace your user account, username, and your password. Yes. In this example, yes. Slash was. Mm-hmm. No, the slash will separate. You put your username first, and put a slash, and then put a password. Later. The slash will separate the username and the password. After you create a CGI here, okay, then you need to create a form. HTML form. This is an example to show you how to create a form. I probably need your for you. Go data. You have to specify the action, okay? This action will be your CGI bin where you locate your file. Currently, I don't know if TA, did you announce that? I sent out the, okay. I set up the same. For this class is CPN 615. Point. 97. And put your username. This already point out to your your directory before. Top of your directory. Suppose you have CA here. This will be the top one. This already link. This place, symbolic link. So everything you create just under your own space. You don't have to use the special space, other space. Then all you need to do just put your username after this. And then where you put your CGI code. Same thing in the document root. Remember these two paths.
Okay, you can just put everything, document, including the documents on your CGI bin, under your own directory, and put your username and where you locate your file. Then you can use this HTTP server.
Sure, I think we should put these green remarks on where the homework is.
Okay, I will.
So we'll add all this information that you put here to the homework with you, so that you don't...
You don't have to write it down, because if you cannot recognize my handwriting. So after you've done this, then go back to see the form. You need to create a form. In this example, I think I used the get method because I didn't pass a lot of information. I didn't query too much data, so I'm using get. If you need more data, you like input a really huge string, then you need to use post method. After you create your web interface, then you can try to start your example. There's an example here. You should look like this. The phone will create this interface. And suppose we want to search. Okay, you will have this result. This is how TA will judge your homework through the web, through the Netscape. So everything got to be done on the web. And I don't think you will have a problem now, but you will have a problem later. So if you have a problem, did you give them your phone number or everything, I mean your email address to everybody? Okay. TA will collect all the questions for me, and I will try to answer the question for you, to everybody. Because I want to make sure I didn't answer the question again, because I answered the same question a lot of time. That's the reason the last time I asked Jeffrey to give me a section to explain everything, the homework. Okay, so if you are not clear, fine. Go to this page, read this material in detail. It will help you.
Is there a way and you create a table by the Microsoft Word and
fine. Just plain file.
Can you export to the Oracle and
it doesn't matter, just use a plain file. You can use the Microsoft anything what you want. Okay, you can use the Word, you can use the VI, you can use Emacs, you can use somewhere your PE tool, okay? You can whatever editor you want to use, just create the plain file, the text file. Okay.
You use the table from Microsoft Word and you have a table.
No, it's different. No. They are not using the same format, okay? You can use that for the backwards of access. Can you be louder? Okay.
Well, I mean, I would view this. This is a pretty good tutorial. It's, in my opinion, better than the toilet. It's small. It's sort of systematic. And we'll add. There's a thing called exercise. We'll add these remarks to this thing called exercise, and maybe you'll put a pointer to that. Exercise, and there's lots of examples here.
When is the D-Day?
What?
When is the D-Day? The due date for the homework.
Due date is Monday week.
Okay.
After the term break.
No, I meant after the term break.
Yeah. I think it will be end of this semester.
End of this semester.
Last semester, I think it's, I don't know, according to the experience, last time I explained everything and I only received 3 answers, I mean after the final, before the final, so probably you can take whatever you want, as long as you like. Okay. Just remember, give your homework to TA.
All right, so that's for this,
because you want to use this, you have to learn how to operate the database. And you have to have the basic idea of how the HTML form operation. Also, you need to know CGI. This is a combination, this is the application. You need to run it. Then after this, you will understand. It will help you to find a job. Are you sure? Last time I had to think.
Oh, we had to have a guest appearance after 3 weeks.
Maybe.
All right.
I hope not.
There's not any guarantees to be here again.